Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Gittin, daf Mem Beis. We left off daf Mem Aleph, Amud Beis, probably about two-thirds of the way down the Amud. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Landauer in honor of his wife and children. We thank him very, very much for his continued sponsorship of the shiur. Also, Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha, Lea Shalom, of course. We thank Dr. Landauer very much. So yesterday, we saw the Mishnah at the end of Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, going on to the top of Mem Aleph Amud Beis, the famous Mishnah about Chatzi Eved V'Chatzi Ben Chorin. How if you have an Eved who's owned by two partners and one of them frees the Eved, then we're going to force the other to ultimately free the Eved. That was originally the Shita of Beis Shammai, not the Shita of Beis Hillel. However, we then said that Beis Hillel, ultimately paskin like Beis Shammai and conceded that we would force the second master to free his chalik and the Eved, and the reason being because it's one thing to know that you have one day on, one day off in terms of your work, but it's a totally different thing in terms of the ability to get married. The Chatzi Eved of a Chatzi Ben Chorin is stuck because he can't marry a free woman because he's a Chatzi Eved. He can't marry a slave woman because he's a Chatzi Ben Chorin. He has a mitzvah of Pru or Vu, although the Mishnah quoted the mitzvah of Losov Vera L'Sheves Yitzara. Therefore, in order to ensure that the Eved is able to get married, we force the Rabbo Sheni to free the Eved. That launched us into a discussion in the Gemara yesterday that we are in the middle of, not about a Chatzi Eved V'Chatzi Ben Chorin who is owned by two partners, but a person who owns an Eved and decides that he wants to free only part of his chelek in the Eved. So he wants to free only half of his chelek in the Eved, even though he owns the entire Eved. And what we had seen yesterday was a machlokas as to whether that type of redemption, that type of emancipation, is viable or not. So we saw machlokas Rabbi and the Chachamim as to whether that type of emancipation is viable or not. We also saw that there was a tzad to say yesterday, that the concept of freeing half of your right in an eved is more shayach when you are using money as the redemptive tool than it is when you are using a shtar as the redemptive tool. And ultimately, we saw yesterday the shita of Rav Yosef, who said that the machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim applies bein b'shtar, bein b'kesef. That regardless of whether you are attempting to free the chatzi, whether you're attempting to free half of your chelek in the eved with money, or you're attempting to free half of your chelek in the eved with a shtar, it is going to work according to Rebbe. According to the Chachamim, it is not going to work. And that's what we concluded with yesterday. Again, the reason for the Shita of Rebbe is because the Pasuk says, Vehefte lo nevdasa. So the Pasuk, which talks about Shivcha Charufa, clearly seems to be talking about somebody who's in a state of limbo. Vehefte lo nevdasa, that it's redeemed, but not fully redeemed. That's talking about Kesef. Then it says, Ochub Shalonitan law. That's talking about the Shtar. So Rebbe is Makish Kesef to the Shtar. Just like by Kesef, you can effectuate a half of a redemption, or a half of an emancipation. So too, by Shtar, you can effectuate half of an emancipation. The Chachamim said, no, we're going to compare the Eved, or the Shivcha, to an Isha. Just like when you're married to a woman, the way you release that bond of marriage is through a get. And there's no such thing as divorcing half of the marital relationship. Either you give a get to your wife or you don't. So too, by an Eved, either the Eved can be fully emancipated or not emancipated at all. That was the Shita of the Chachamim. Yesterday we saw Rav Yosef, who said that they argue both by Kesef and by Shtar. So that's where we're going to pick up from today. It's Tashma, about two-thirds of the way down. The first word on the line is the Rabbanan. We're going to continue with this discussion of freeing half of your interest in an Eved, and then the Gemara is going to segue on Mem Beis Amud Aleph into a conversation of what happens if you have a person who has two Avadim, who writes all of his Nechassim to his Avadim, but he leaves over a little bit, or he writes all of Nechassim to his Avadim, but he does so in an unusual way. So are the Avadim Kona themselves? Are they emancipated themselves because the master has written away all of his Nechassim to his Avadim, or not? So that's going to be the discussion on Mem Beis Amud Aleph. And then segueing into Mem Beis Amud Beis, we are going to talk about What happens if you have a chatzi eved of a chatzi ben chorin? So it's a little bit of a question as to how you can have a chatzi eved of a chatzi ben chorin. If we said the chazru beisilul horus kadivra beishamai, we'll get to that in the Gemara. But you have a chatzi eved of a chatzi ben chorin who is still in the phase of Ovid as rabba yom echad ves atzmo yom echad, but then comes along a shor and the shor gores the eved. So the question is, do we treat the eved, do we treat this person like an eved? Do we treat the person like a ben chorin? Does it depend on what day we gore, the eved is gored? Does it depend whether the eved is killed through the goring or whether the eved is only injured through the goring? So that is going to be the discussion on Mem Beis Amid Beis. But again, we left off Mem Aleph Amid Beis about two-thirds of the way down. First word on the line is Durabanan. The second to last word on the line is Tashma. Again, we're bringing a riot to the sheet of Rav Yosef that Rebbe and the Chachamim argue about a person's capacity to emancipate half of his interest in the slave, both in the case of Shtar and in the case of Kesef. Says the Gemara, Tashma Vehefte Yachalakol Vehefte, says Vehefte that the slave is emancipated. I might mean that the slave is fully emancipated, Tamalomar Loniftasa, that the slave is not emancipated. Iloniftasa Yachalakol, if the slave is not emancipated at all, I would think that it's not free at all, not that half of the slave is free, so I would think it's an all or nothing proposition. Now note, even though lo niftasa, and therefore there is a tzad to say that the shifcha, we're dealing over here again with the shifcha charufa, which is a shifcha who is partially redeemed, who then is married to an eved ivri. And so the question is, the Torah is discussing, is a person who is boel, the shifcha charufa, going to be chayav, rather, a certain onesh, for being boel the shifcha charufa? So the Torah tells us that a person who is noef, a person who does niyaf with a shifcha charufa, is going to be chayav a karban asham. And the chiddush over here is that the guy is going to be chayav a karban asham, even though there's a tzad to say, lo nevdasa, that her redemption was not effective at all. If her redemption is not effective at all, she's not allowed to marry an eved ivri. Again, when we talk about eved in the Gemara, we've been discussing an eved kenani. So an eved kenani is the equivalent of this shifcha. But the Eved Ivri has the status of a Jew. He's just an Eved. I mean, that's what he does for a living, but he is a Jew. So if she's not redeemed, she really shouldn't be able to marry a Jew. So if she is, quote, married to a Jew, I might think that if you are then boel her, you're not going to be chayav a karban asham, because there is no essence, there is no validity to her marital bond with the Eved Ivri. Okay, but the Torah says that you're chayav a karban asham. But in any event, darshaning the psukim, it says vehefte lo niftasa. So I might think it's either all or nothing. Tamalamar vehefte haketsa p'duya vena p'duya. So we're in the state of limbo that she is redeemed, but not. She's partially redeemed. Bekesef uvishava kesef. And this partial redemption, this partial emancipation can take place. It could be effectuated through both kesef and shava kesef. Vainly, elabekesef. I only know that it could take place with kesef. B'shtar minayin, how do I know that you can also effectuate a partial emancipation through a shtar? Tamalomar behefte lo niftasa, oh, chupsha lo nitan la. Because it says, hefte lo niftasa, that's kesef. Chupsha lo nitan la, you never gave her a shtar cheres, that shtar. Ula halon nu omer, v'kosov lo sefer krisos. Mala halon b'shtar, afkan b'shtar. So this is darshaning how we know chupsha lo nitan la is talking about shtar, because we make a dimyan, we make a hekesh from shifcha charufa to sefer krisos, to gittin, just like a get is through a shtar. So too, the emancipation of the Shifcha Charufa, where she's in the state of limbo, she's partially emancipated, could be with a shtar as well. So, Aimli Elechatzi Bekesef Akula Bishtar. I only know that she could be partially redeemed through Kesef or fully emancipated through a shtar. Chatziv Bishtar Minayin. How do I know that she could also be partially emancipated through a shtar? Tamalomar Vehefte Lo Neftasa O Chupsha Lo Nitan La. Because it says, Hefte Lo Neftasa O Chupsha Lo Nitan La. Again, Hefte Lo Neftasa is Kesef. Chupshal anita lo shtar, ma kishtar le kesef. So we compare shtar to kesef. Ma kesef ben kulo ben chetzio, afshtar nami ben kulo ben chetzio. Just like there could be a partial emancipation with kesef, so too there could be a partial emancipation with a shtar. Says the Gemara, bishlama le Rav Yosef. I understand according to the shita of Rav Yosef, basar de isosev, after we asked on Rav Yosef, and Rav Yosef ultimately had to say that the machlokas, Rebbe and the Chachamim, as to whether a partial emancipation is effective, applies both by kesef and by shtar. And over here we just had a brisa that said that you can have a partial emancipation both through Kesef and through Shtar Hamani Rebihi. So this is the Shita of Rebbe, because Rebbe is the one who says that the partial emancipation is effective. Rabbi Yosef told me that Rebbe holds a Shita Bein Bekesef Bein Beshtar. Therefore, this Brisa, which talks about a partial emancipation being effective both through Kesef and through Shtar, is the Shita of Rebbe, according to Rabbi Yosef. Great. However, Hamani Rebbe, El Rabba, but according to Rabba, and Rabba who said the Machlokes is only by Shtar. The Machlokes, Rebbe and the Chachamim, is only by Shtar, whether a partial emancipation is effective, where Rebbe says yes and the Chachamim say no. But by Kesef, everybody agrees that a partial emancipation is going to be effective because the Pasuk says expressly, Vehefte lo niftasa. It talks about somebody who's partially emancipated. She's in a state of limbo. We don't know what she is. So says the Gemara, but El Rabba, Reisha Divrei Hakol V'Sefer Rebbe. So the Reisha where we talk about Kesef is going to be Divrei Hakol because everybody agrees that partial emancipation is effective when using Kesef. And then the Seifa, when we talk about Shtar, is going to be the Shita of Rebbe because there's the Machlokas by Shtar, and it's the Shita of Rebbe who says that the partial emancipation is effective through Shtar. And that's not the way we try to set up a Brisa, because usually we try to set up a Brisa to be one Shita consistently beginning to end. But according to Rabba, it turns out that the Reisha, when we talk about Shtar, is a Divrei Hakol. The Seifa, when we talk about, is Divrei Hakol. The Seifa, when we talk about Shtar, is only Shita Rebbe. So Malacha Rabba in Reisha Divrei Hakol, the Seifa Rebbe. Yeah, okay, so if that's the way you have to interpret the Brisa, that's the way you interpret the Brisa. The Reisha, which talks about partial emancipation through Kesef, is Divrei Hakol, because even the Chachamim Amroda there. The Seifa, which talks about partial emancipation through Shtar and says that there is such a thing as partial emancipation, that is going like Rebbe. So says the Gemara then, Ravashi says, the entire thing is the Shita of Rebbe. Meaning that it is true, the Chachamim are Moda in that first case, in the case of Kesef, that the partial emancipation is effective. But we could also say that this Brisa reflects the Shita of Rebbe. And Rebbe's Shita is consistent, both by Kesef and by Shtar, that a partial emancipation is effective. And yes, it is true that the Chachamim concede in that first case, but this whole Brisa could be an expression of Rebbe's opinion, not a problem. So says the Gemara, well, in that case, I understand, according to the Mishnah, which says that you can have a chatzi eved v'chatzi ben chorin, so bishlam el rabba mukim la kesef v'divrei akol. So I understand, according to Rabba, our Mishnah, which spoke about a chatzi eved v'chatzi ben chorin, which seems to indicate that there is such a thing as partial emancipation. So we could be talking about, our Mishnah refers to a case where the partial emancipation was effectuated through Kesef, and it's a Divrei Hakol because everybody agrees, both Rebbe and the Chachamim agree that you could have a partial emancipation through Kesef. Elul Rav Yosef, Lema Rebbe Yivlo Rabbanan, but according to Rav Yosef, the Machlokas, Rebbe and the Chachamim, is both by Kesef and by Shtar. Rebbe is the only Shita who says that you could have a partial emancipation. So our Mishnah, which talks about a chatzi eved v'chatzi ben chorin, meaning that there's a state of partial emancipation, you mean to say our Mishnah is going only like the Shita of Rebbe and not like the Shita of the Chachamim? So you're probably thinking this is not a question, because the way we explained this sugya is not at all talking about what our Mishnah was talking about, because our Mishnah was talking about a case where there were two shutfin who owned the eved, and one of them released all of his interest in the Eved. This Gemara, the Machlokas, Rebbe and the Chachamim, is talking about where you have one person who owns an entire Eved and he tries to emancipate only part of the Eved. And that's exactly what the Gemara says. Zama Ravina, says Ravina, turning to Mem Beis Amud Aleph, but Eved shel shnei shutfim v'divrei hakol. No, our Mishnah is not talking about what we're talking about at all. We're talking about where you have one guy who owns one Eved, and that guy, that owner of the Eved, tries to emancipate half of his interest in the Eved. That's the Machlokas, does that partial emancipation work? Our Mishnah is talking about where you have two people who jointly own an Eved. One of them releases his interest in the Eved. One of them emancipates the Eved, but the other retains his interest in the Eved. So it doesn't have anything to do with the Machlokas of Rebbe and the Chachamim, at all. And Rashi points out that in the case where you have the Eved who's jointly owned by two partners, the whole reason, again, remember, the whole reason why the partial emancipation shouldn't be effective is because we are going to compare the Eved to an Isha, and just like an Isha, it is released from the marriage with a get, and you can only fully release the marriage or not. In other words, if you give a get to your, if one gives a get to his wife, the wife is fully divorced. There's no such thing as partial divorce. So too, where you have the Eved who's owned by Shtei Shutfin, as long as each Shutuf is releasing his full interest in the Eved, then that emancipation is going to be effective. Says the Gemara now, end of the top line of Membez Amid Aleph, Amar Rabbah, Machlokes, Bisheshichrur Chatzio, Vianiyah Chatzio. The Machlokes, now back to our regularly scheduled program, which was not the case mentioned in the Mishnah, but the case that we've been talking about in the Gemara, where you have the one person who owns the one Eved, and he tries to emancipate part of the Eved. In other words, he releases part of his interest in the Eved. So we've been seeing a Machlokes, Rebbe and the Chachamim, does the partial emancipation work? Says the Gemara now, a Chiddush, that is only where he tries to release half of his interest in the Eved, and he tries to retain half of his interest in the Eved. Machlokes, b'sheshichur chatzio v'aniyah chatzio, aval shichur chatzio mekar chatzio. However, if he is meshachrer half of the Eved and then sells his other half of the interest in the Eved, o nosam b'matana chatzio, or he frees half of his Eved and gives away the other half of the Eved as a matana, because at the end of the day, he ultimately is relinquishing his entire interest in the Eved, everybody would agree that it is Kone, because over here, what we have is an entire krisus. We have a full separation, because the whole of Machlokes is, can you have a partial separation? Over here, there is no partial separation, there's going to be a full separation. Amar le Abaye v'kula lo pligi. Do they not argue where ultimately he winds up relinquishing all of his interests in the Eved? Vatanya, Vatani Chada, but we have one brisa that says as follows. Hakosev nechasav l'shnei avadav. If you write away all of your nechasim to two of your avadim, so kanu umeshachrim zezeh, then each of the avadim is kone all of the nechasim of the master that the master has written over to them. And because those avadim are then kone all of the nechasim, they could then free one another. So we have one brisa that says that if you write away all of your nechasim, you give away all of your nechasim to two avadim, that kinyan works, and they are kone each other because you have effectively relinquished all of your interest in the avadim. V'tani idach. But we have another brisa that says, "Omer kol nechasai nesunim leploni leploni avdi." If you say that all of your nechasim are given over to Reuven and Shimon, your avadim, af atzman lo kanu, then the avadim are not even kone themselves. They're not even kone themselves. But I thought you gave over all of your nechasim to both of your avadim. Says the Gemara, "My lav ha Rebbe." That the first brisa that says that it works if you give away your nechasim to both of your avadim, that's the shita of Rebbe, who says that you can have half of an emancipation. Meaning that the way Rebbe is viewing this is you've given away all of your nechasim to two avadim, so each eved is only kona half of your nechasim, so each eved is only kona half of the master's interest in that eved, but because Rebbe says that a half emancipation is going to be valid, that works, and then it works that they could each free each other's half, which is still an avdus. And vaha rabbanan. And the second brisa, which says that if you write all of your nechasim away to two of your avadim, it doesn't work, that they're not kone each other. That's the shita of the chachamim who say that a partial emancipation is not effective. Now, over here, the rabbanim will be saying that the partial emancipation is not effective, even though at the end of the day, you did not retain for yourself any chelek in the avadim, because you gave away all of your nechasim to both of your avadim. And we had said that the Machlokas, Rebbe and the Chachamim, is only where the master retains a chelek, but now we see that the Chachamim say, lo kana, even where the master doesn't retain any chelek. Says the Gemara, lo, edvd rabbanan. Both cases are within the sheet of the Chachamim. Hodi amar kulo, however, the first case is where he says, kulo is where he says, all of his nechasim are relinquished to both of his avadim, and therefore it's very clear that he is relinquishing all of his nechasim, meaning he is not leaving over anything. Ha diamar chatzi chatzi. However, in the second case, the practical effect is that he's giving away all of his nechasim, but he's not giving away all of his nechasim b'lashon kulo. He's saying half of my nechasim should go to my Eved Reuven, and half of my nechasim should go to my Eved Shimon. And in that case, for each Eved, he is releasing only
half of the Eved, because he's giving away only half of his nechasim to each of the Avadim. And the Mefarshim point out that this is the case, even if he gives the shtaros at the same, even if he gives the shtaros at the same time. So I might think if he gives the shtaros at the same time, and each star says that half of my nechasim should go to Reuven or Shimon my Eved, then I would think it should be effective, because at the end of the day, he's being mesalik himself from all of his nechasim. He is relinquishing his rights in all of his nechasim. Say the mefarshim, no, because when the guy writes, half of my nechasim should be given to you, and half of my nechasim should be given to you, maybe he's talking about the same half of the nechasim. Maybe he's only giving away half of his nechasim, but half of his nechasim he's keeping for himself. So basically where we are now is we said there's not necessarily one of these brises reflects the shita of Rebbe and one reflects the shita of the Chachamim. They could be both like the Chachamim, but the distinction lies in the language, in the mechanism that he uses. So it says the Gemara of Amen Kani Seifa, but then there's a Seifa of the Brisa that says, V'yam Amar Chatzi Chatzi Lo Kana. There's a Brisa that specifically deals, in other words, there's the first Brisa that says Kulo. There's a second Brisa that also seems to say Kulo. And 2b, the second part of the second Brisa says, but if he says Chatzi Chatzi, then he's not going to be Kone. So Michlal, Dereisha, it's Mashma that the Reisha of that Brisa, in other words, Brisa 2a, D'yomar Kulo, is where he said Kulo. So how could you say that the first Brisa is where he said Kulo, the second Brisa is where he said Chatzi Chatzi? We have a second part of the second Brisa where it says Chatzi Chatzi, Mashma that the first part of the second Brisa is where he says Kulo. So says the Gemara, no, Prushe Kamafaresh. It's not distinguishing, it's explaining what the case is talking about. Af Atzman Lokanu. In the second Brisa, it says that the Avadim are not quoting themselves. Why? Ketzad, Kagon Diyamar, Chatzi Chatzi. The reason, the Hezver of the second Brisa, the distinction between the first Brisa and the second Brisa is that in the first Brisa he says Kulo, in the second Brisa he says Chatzi Chatzi. And Achinami Mistabra, and it's Mistabra that way as well. Disal Kadaitak Resha Damir Kulo. If you wanted to tell me that the Resha is where he says Kulo, yet because he says Laploni Ulaploni Avdi, it's not going to work. So if you want to say that the Resha is talking about Kulo, Hashram or Kulo Lokano, Amar Chatzi Chatzi Mibai, if it doesn't work, if the Avadim are not even Kona themselves, where he says all of my Nechasim should be given over to the Avadim, then certainly it's not going to work when he says that half of my Nechasim should be given over to my Avadim. Says the Gemara, no, imi shema lo iria. If this is your kasha, then it's not a valid kasha. Tana seifa legluya resha. The seifa, we learn the seifa in order to elucidate, in order to illuminate the resha. Shelo tomar resha diamar chatzi chatzi aval amar kulo kana. That you shouldn't say, oh, the resha, also the first part of the second bray says where you said chatzi chatzi, but had you used the lashon of kulo, it would have worked. Tana seifa diamar chatzi chatzi meklal de resha diamar kulo afilo achilo kanu. Oh, so the Reisha, the Seifa says Chatzi Chatzi, meaning that the Reisha says Kulo, yet, even in the Reisha, it's still not going to work. Biba Seima, others say, Lo Kasha, Kan B'Shtar Echad, Kan B'Shtei Sharos. The distinction over here between the Braisas is where it's one star versus two Sharos. So Rashi says, why wouldn't one star work? So one star wouldn't work for the same reason that one get wouldn't work. So let's say, Mida Raisa, a man is allowed to be married to more than one woman. So let's say the man is married to two women. He's married to Rachel and Leah. And he decided that married life is not for him. So he wants to divorce Rachel and Leah. So he decides he wants to save money on the sofa. So he's going to divorce both of his wives with a single get. Can you divorce two wives with a single get? The answer is no. So just like you can't divorce two wives with a single get, so too you can't release two avadim with a single shtar. So the reason that in the Seifa, what we call the second Brisa, where the guy wrote all of his Nechasim to both of his Avadim, the reason that it doesn't work is because it was all written in a single shtar, and just like you can't divorce two wives with a single shtar, so too you can't release two Avadim with a single shtar. But the second case, which is confusing because it's really the first case, which is the Reisha, what we call the Reisha, which is where we say that Akosef called Nechasav Le'Avadim does work, the reason that that does work is because you give two shtaros, and when you give two shtaros, each shtar is relinquishing all of your interest in the Eved, and therefore it's going to work. And it's like divorcing two wives with two gittin. And you're allowed to divorce two wives with two gittin, so too you're allowed to emancipate two avadim with two separate shtaros. So says the Gemara, b'shtar echad, mai ayri chatzi chatzi, afilo amar kulo namilo. But if it's shtar echad, so why do we say that in that shtar, he says, half of my nechazim go to this eved, half of my nechazim go to that eved, meaning that you're always afraid that you're retaining half of your interest in the avadim. I thought Rashi just said, the reason that one shtar doesn't work is because you're not allowed to divorce two women with one get, so too you're not allowed to emancipate two slaves with one shtar. So even if you wrote all of your nechassim to the avadim, but it's only one shtar, it's not going to work to free them. So mayri chatzi chatzi afilo amar kulo nami lo kanu. So achanami kamar af atzma lo kanu. You're right, they're not kona themselves. When do we say that they're not kona, that it doesn't work? It's only by shtar echad, because just like you cannot divorce two wives with a single get, so too you cannot emancipate two avadim with a single shtar. Aval b'shtei sharos kanu. But if you would give each eved individual shtar, then it would be kona. Oh, v'im amar chatzi chatzi af b'shtei sharos nami lo kanu. But when does two shtaros work? That's only if each star says kulo, but if each star says chatzi chatzi, then we're afraid that you're retaining half of your interest in the eved, therefore it's not going to work. Viva sema lo kasha. Another interpretation, a way to reconcile these brises, is that there's no kasha. Kan b'vas achas, kan b'zeh achar zeh. One is talking about where you do it b'vas achas, and Rashi points out, and in both shtaros you say kulo, and when the ratio when it says that this works, it's effective as an emancipation, it's when you gave both shtaros b'vas achas. So at a single moment you are giving two avadim a shtar, and each shtar says that you are kona all of my nechassim. So that's going to work. However, if you give it b'zeh achar zeh, then it's not going to work. If you give it b'zeh achar zeh, then it's not going to work. So we're going to get into that in the Gemara. So says the Gemara, Bishlama Basra Lokanu. Okay, so the case where it doesn't work is where you give each of your avadim a shtar that says you are kona all of my property, but you give them consecutively, not simultaneously. You give them sequentially, one after the other. So I understand the second one is in kona da kanile kama, because there's nothing left for the second guy to be kona, because the master already gave all of his nechazim to the first eved. Ella kama liknei nafshei v'liknei lechavrei. But the first guy, why isn't he kona everything? So he's kona his own interest in himself. He's kona the master's interest in the second eved. Let him then be kona the other eved, and let's free him. So ella machvarta kadashina meikara. Oh, you're right. And therefore, we have to be talking about a situation where the distinction, the way to reconcile the Reisha and the Seifa, the way to reconcile the Braisa that told me that it works and the Braisa that told me that this type of emancipation doesn't work, is either where in one case the Baal says chetzi chetzi and not kulo, or where the Baal wrote one shtar and that's why it doesn't work. But we can't say that the reason that it doesn't work is because you give the shtaros b'zeh achar zeh, because even if you would give it b'zeh achar zeh, still it should work that the first guy's kona everything, and once the first guy's kona everything, l'chora, he should be able to free the second slave. Says the Gemara, Ravashi Amar Shani Yasam the Kakori Le'avodai. Ravashi says, I'll give you another reason why it doesn't work, is because what did the Braisa said? The Braisa said, Ha Kosef Kol Nechasav La'avodai. He says, I'm giving away all my nechasim to my avodim. You're calling them avodim. So if you're calling them avodim, it's obvious that you don't intend to free them. Amar Le'Rafam Le'Ravashi V'dilma Avodai Shayu Kfar. No, he has to identify them. So he goes, right now they're my avodim, but once they're kona ola my nechassim, they're not going to be avodim anymore. Mivo tanan, don't we have a mission that says, a kosev kol nechassim le'avodav yatzal l'cheiris? If a person writes all of his nechassim to his eved, then the eved goes free because he's given all of his nechassim away, including his interest in the eved. However, she or karka kol shu lo yatzal l'cheiris. However, if he left over a little bit of karka, then the eved doesn't go free. Why wouldn't the eved go free? Because you leave over a little bit of karka. Because it's obvious that you don't really mean all of your nechassim to go free, says Rashi. At once, by karka, you don't mean all of your nechassim. We're afraid that more broadly, you don't mean all of your nechassim, and therefore the eved is not going to go free. Rav Shimon Omer, Liolam hu ben chorin. No, the eved does go free, even if the master leaves over a little bit of karka. Atri Omer, kol nechassim nesunim l'ploni abdi chutz miechad m'ravo sheben. That all of my nechassim are given over to my eved, except for 1/10,000th of my nechassim. And says Rashi, we're afraid that this guy is so degrading as Eved that he views his Eved as worth no more than 1/10,000th of his Nechasim, but we're afraid that when he's being Meshayer, even Kolshu, he is being Meshayer, he is retaining his interest in the Eved, and therefore it's not going to be a valid emancipation. But says the Gemara, the whole Shakla Vitaria here in this Brisa is Taima Diomar Chutz Miechen Merevoshabem. The reason that the Eved doesn't go free is because you're retaining an interest, a partial interest, be it an interest in property, be it an interest in 1/10,000th of your nechasim, but you're not fully relinquishing the nechasim. Halo amrachi kani amayva Eved korile. But if he didn't retain anything for himself, then it would have worked. But why? But I thought this Bryce is a case where it says akosev kol nechasav liavodav. He calls it an Eved. Ella avada shayekvar, achanami avada shayekvar. Obviously, it means that it's only a way of identifying the Eved. It means an Eved, the guy who was previously the Eved, right? This person formerly known as my Eved. So too, over here, it means the person formerly known as my Eved. Okay, so that is the end of this discussion. And now we are going to segue into the second topic of the daf, which is the Chatzi Eved of Chatzi Ben Choren, where he's Ovid as Rabbi Yom Echad, as Atzman Yom Echad. What happens if he is gored by an ox? So we just have to back up, and we have to understand that when an ox gores an Eved, there is a knas that the Torah imposes that you have to pay the master of the Eved a knas of shloshim shekel, of shloshim shkalim, of 30 shkalim, regardless of the value of the Eved. However, the Eved is worth a lot, the Eved is worth a little, it doesn't matter, the knas is shloshim shkalim. However, by a person, if a shor muad gores a person, then the baal ashor has to pay what's called kofar. Kofar is is an estimate of how much the person could have been sold on the slave market. And therefore, if he's a robust person and would have been sold for a lot of money, then the kofar could be a lot. Masha'in came by an eved where the knas is locked in at 30 shkalim. So says the Gemara, not koshar, if a shor gores this chatzi eved of a chatzi ben choren, yom shal rabo la rabo, yom shal atzmo la atzmo, if it's the day of his master, then the knas goes to the master. If it's the day that he works for himself, then the kofar goes to himself. Says Tosfos, what are you talking about? I thought that we said in the Mishnah that chazur beis hillel horos kedivrei beis shammai, that there's no such thing as a chatzi eved v'chatzi ben chorin, because beis hillel wound up paskening like a beis shammai. They reversed their psak. Says Tosfos a couple of answers. Either we're talking about Mishnah Rishonah, we're talking about the lay of the land before Beis Hillel reversed their psak and started holding like Beis Shammai, or we could be talking about even L'Mishnah Achrona, but we're talking about an Eved which is owned partially by Ketanim Yesomim, where Beis Din can't force them yet to free their interest in the Eved, or we're not talking about an Eved at all, we're talking about a Shifcha Kananis. And the reason that we free the Eved Kanani is because we felt badly that he had no way of performing the mitzvah Pru Urvu. However, the Pru Urvu is the mitzvah on the man, like the rabbi just spoke about in Shalosh Shudas, is the mitzvah on the man, not on the woman. The woman is an integral participant, obviously, because you can't fulfill it without the woman's participation, but it's a mitzvah on the man. So if you have a Shifcha Kananis, we're not going to force the other master to free her so that she can perform the mitzvah Pru Urvu, because she doesn't have a mitzvah of Pru Urvu. So that's, Tosfos has three ways that we can interpret why we have somebody who's a chatzi eved of a chatzi ben chorim. But the bottom line is that if the shor gores the eved on the day that the eved works for the master, the knas goes to the master. On the day that the eved works for himself, the kofar goes to himself. It says the Gemara, Elamayata, Yom Shal Rabba Yisa Shefcha, Yom Shal Atzmi Yisa Bas Chorin. If we're going to make such neat distinctions, so why are we concerned with who the guy can marry? On the day that he works for the master, let him marry a Shefcha. On the day that he works for himself, let him marry a Bas Chorin. Says the Gemara, that makes no sense. Marriage lasts for more than a day. So Isura lo kamrinan, you can't divide Isra like that. You could divide money like that. Mammon like that could be divided, but Isra like that can't be divided. Tashma, we have now a Braisa. Hamis Misha Chetzio Eved V'Chetzio Ben Chorin. If the shor gores and kills somebody who's a chatzi eved v'chatzi ben chorin, and Rashi points out, in that case, the knas that a person would be chayev for the shor goring an eved is the knas of 30 shkalim, no matter how much the eved is worth, and the punishment for goring the chatzi ben chorin is kofar. So if a person gores a chatzi, if a shor rather gores a chatzi eved v'chatzi ben chorin and kills him, no sein chatzi knas l'rabo, you give half of the knas to the master, v'chatzi kofar liyarshav, and half of the kofar payment to the yarshim. Says the Gemara, amai Hachanami lema yom shel rabba l'rabba yom shel atzmo l'atzmo. If the shor gores the eved and kills the eved, why are we dividing the payment between the two? I thought you just told me, well, it depends when it happens. If it happened when he's working for the master, then the master gets the payment. If it happened when he's working for himself, then he gets to keep the payment. Says the Gemara, no, shani yachad the kakali yakarna. Over here, the karen is done. The guy is dead. So this is the final division. It's not like, oh, if he dies on the day that he's working with the master, you'll pay the master. Because the next time, he'll die when he's working for himself. He only dies one time with the Shor HaMuad, and therefore, this is the final division. The Keren is obliterated. It goes away after this. Therefore, we're going to have to divide it like that. Says the Gemara, Vela Hechidami, Deloka Kaliyar Karna. What's the situation where the Keren is not totally used up? Where the Evet is still going to be there, is still going to be around, but people are Chayev to pay damages. Kagon Sheiko Al Yado, Vitsimsa Yado Vesof Al Achzer. It's a situation where the ox gored the Eved, damaged his arm, damaged his hand withered, but ultimately it's going to grow back. So in other words, the Eved is still there, but the peros, the ability of the Eved to work, is temporarily compromised. Says the Gemara, Hani chalabai damar nosein lo sheves gadola v'sheves katana. I understand according to Abayu, says, and in that situation, you have to pay not only sheves gadola is nezek, sheves katana is sheves. And Rashi says that there were two stages here, that if the Eved is gored, then initially, right after the goring, the guy is so sick that he can't even work to be a shomer kishuin, to guard a field of cucumbers or of gourds. That is what the Gemara calls the most basic type of employment. So right away, when the guy is convalescing, he's recuperating from his illness, from being gored, he can't do anything. That's when you have to give him sheves. That's called the idle pay, basically. In other words, the minimal amount that a person could have made. However, then there's a time where he's able to do basic functions. He's able to be Shomer Kishuin, but he's not able to do what he's really able to do. He's not able to do his regular job. And that's Nezek. That's the differential between what he's actually able to do and what he should be doing. So I understand, according to the Ma'an Nimer, says that you have to pay both Nezek and Sheves, then this is good. Ela l'Rava, but according to Rava, who says that Diyamar Eina Nosein Lo Ela Shifto Shebechol Yom, that you only have to pay Sheves, but you don't pay Nezek, V'Sahai Shorhu, V'Shor Eina Meshalem Ela Nezek. But if you're going to tell me that the case where the Karen is not Kalya, Lo Kalya Karna, is where the hand is withered, and so we're talking about where the payment of Nezek and the payment of Sheves is owed, you can't be talking about a case of Sheves because a Shor Muad only pays Nezek, doesn't pay Sheves. So you can't say, we can't be talking about a case where the payment is Sheves because a Shor doesn't pay Sheves. Says the Gemara, Yibay Semek, Kishoko Adam. Who says that we're talking about where a Shor gored the Eved? Maybe a person damaged the Eved. Or you could say that this is a Memra, and we argue, and Rava argues on the Memra. In other words, that the Memra holds like Abaya, who says that the Bala Shor has to pay Nezek, which is over, a passing Nezek. But Rava doesn't hold that way. So now the Gemara segues to another topic. Yiboylu. Mu'ukav get shechver. If you have somebody who is mu'ukav get shechver, meaning one of the types of avadim where we said that the eved goes free and we force the rav to write a get shechver, so either meshachar avdo, maktish avdo, that type of situation. So yesh lo knas o ein lo knas. Is there the concept of knas or not? In other words, he's partially redeemed because he actually was meshachar, or was actually maktish the eved, but we do force him to write a get shechver. So there's something still lacking to break the connection between the master and the eved. So if the eved is gored during that window, does he get knas? So kesef shloshim shkolam itin ladona v'amarachmana b'hai lavadonu. This guy's not considered an adon because he already was meshachar or a slave. Odilma, keeping the mechazer get shikra, adon karina bay. Or do we say that because he hasn't yet received the get shikra, he is called an adon? Tashma, hamis, misha chatzi eved v'chatzi ben chorin, no sein chatzi knas l'rabba v'chatzi kofer liyarshav. This brisa that we started with. So my lav k'mishnah achrona, aren't we talking about mishnah achrona after Beis Hillel, paskin like Beis Shammai, meaning that they forced him to free the Yeved, but because he hasn't yet given the get shikrur, therefore the Rav still gets chatzi knas. Lo, Commissioner Rishona. No, we're talking about the Mishnah Rishona. In other words, before Beis Hillel started to paskin like Beis Shammai, and therefore this wasn't a case of mu'ukav get shikrur, because we didn't force him to free him. Tashma, hipel ashino basima aseino. If he knocked out the Eved's tooth and then he blinded his eye, and the Eved is Yotzeh both for Shein va'ayin, so Yotzeh ashino, he goes free with it when he knocks out his tooth, v'nose demeyeno, and then he has to give him the Demei Eino, because he also blinded him. V'yamrit Yesh Lo Knas, and if you want to say that Yesh Lo Knas, that an Eved who lacks still a get shichrur gets Knas, v'knas l'rabo, and the Knas goes to the master, hashta chavli be'achrine yoev le l'rabe. If somebody else were to come and punch the Eved in the eye, then the guy would have to pay a Knas to the Rav, and again, the Rav is required to release the Eved, because he already knocked out his tooth, and he's Yosef Hashem Ba'ayin, chavl be'rabe gufe yoev le l'didei. If the master himself clocks the Eved in the eye, now the master has to pay the Eved? So says the Gemara, Dilma Kamandi Amar ain't a tzarech. Maybe this Brisa holds like the Mandi Amar, who says that they don't require a get shechrer. And the reason that you pay the knas to the Eved is because this is not a case where it's mukav get shechrer. So I don't know what the halach is by a case of mukav get shechrer. So we're going to have to stop here. We're not as far as I wanted to get, but we're going to talk tomorrow, begin with a discussion of if a slave is supposed to go free, but it is mukav get shechrer. What happens when we are in that state of limbo? Hope everybody has a wonderful day.
Thank you, Alicia.
Thank you, Alicia.
Baruch atah Adonai, Elohim HaMelech, Olam HaShem, Rosh HaMaseh, Vivin, Olof, Kim, Yom, Vein, Lai, Lof.
Baruch atah Adonai, Elohim HaMelech, Olam HaShem, Rosh HaMaseh, Vivin, Olof, Kim,
Baruch atah Adonai, Elohim HaMelech, Olam HaShem, Rosh
There was a Shekoyach from a woman today. I don't know. She said Shekoyach, not thank you. Usually says thank you.